state your name and your address so I can get a voice level on the mic?
My name is Annie Joyner, Joyner, Gavin, G-A-V-I-N.
Okay. I'd like to start, Ms. Gavins, by asking you if you've always lived here or if you were born here in James City.
I was born here.
You were?
In James City, in Old James City, we call it.
What was Old James City?
Just before you came across, after you came across the bridge, that area in there was Old James City.
What did it look like?
Well, actually, it's the Ramada Inn is there now.
Yeah.
Right in there. The whole area clear to the water.
Mm-hmm.
That's where they put the slaves down.
Uh-huh.
My great-grandmother said that they brought them here. I think they brought them from High County. But the soldiers put them ahead of them. You know, put them out in the road ahead of them. And they had soldiers to go back and forth between them. I think that they call themselves protecting them, because some of them would have not left, they would have gone back.
Mm-hmm.
But there were some good slave owners.
Mm-hmm.
And these people loved them, that's all they knew. But this is what happened, they kept them coming. Then when they got to James City, just before it got, you know where you get to the body of water, they put them out there. At that time, it was real huge. You know, and they were given, they said they gave them an acre of land and a mule.
Mm-hmm.
And they gave them the know-how to build makeshift houses for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where they lived. Then after the slaves were there for a few years, then the New Bern tried to collect rent from them.
Oh, really?
And they wouldn't pay them. Grace's great-grandfather. So I'm not going to pay rent for what I own. These were given to us. She was tough. It was given to us, and we're not going to pay rent. And they started fighting them. They had to bring in the military.
Started fighting the...
Yeah.
Where did the fighting...
With bricks right over there as you came across that bridge in that general area.
Uh-huh.
Where the Ramada Inn.
Mm-hmm. Who called in the military?
Horace James was put in charge of them.
Uh-huh.
This woman, I forgot her name that I told you was here. She says it's not so according to her book, but I believe those old people, they wouldn't have lied.
Uh-huh.
Well, I know one thing, they had to call the military from Raleigh. Because they meant business, live or die.
Uh-huh. They weren't going to pay.
Yeah.
And how long did the fighting last, you know?
Well, I think they sent the military, and they got them quiet, and then they had a big party.
Oh.
That's what my great-grandmother said.
So they ended up not having to pay then?
Yeah.
Rent?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But eventually, she couldn't buy the land. And those blacks that got ambitious enough and smart enough to want to own their own land and house, they had to buy on this side. See, this side of the creek
uh-huh.
is another area. And it was owned by blacks. I don't know how long, far back it went.
Mm-hmm.
But they were able to buy lots of their own.
So the Old James City part on the other side of the creek,
mm-hmm.
After that was over, you couldn't buy land there anymore?
No, you couldn't still own. So the people, as I said, that were ambitious enough to want their own house, because they were just mostly straight up boards.
Uh-huh.
They were livable, had fireplace. I remember how my great-grandmother's house was.
How was it?
Straight up and down boards and a fireplace. And you cooked on the fireplace, but you had a thing you could pull the pot to, like in Tryon Palace.
Uh-huh, uh-huh,
that's
uh-huh,
how they did.
Uh-huh.
Then they, of course, heated water outdoors in a big pot. So, and in the summertime, they cooked outdoors.
Right.
Uh-huh.
What kind of work did your Was your grandmother a housewife, or was she working?
My grandmother.
Your great-grandmother.
My great-grandmother. No, she kept the younger women's children.
Oh.
And they worked. They worked in the field. They took in washing and ironing. Worked in the house.
Oh.
And the older people took care of the babies.
Uh-huh. How old were you when your great-grandmother died?
I was 12 years old. And I'll be 82 years old, 28th October.
Wow.
So, see, I was a big girl.
What kinds of other things did your great-grandmother tell you about her growing up or about her life?
Well, she said that they're just like human beings are now. Some of the slave owners were very good to the slaves, especially those that were having babies by the black women. Because I knew Miss Hannah, and her father was her owner.
Mm-hmm.
She played in the big house with her white sisters and brother.
Mm-hmm.
And he put her in a house. She didn't have to work in fields.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he kept her there for his own use.
Mm-hmm.
That was wrong for the white women, too.
Mm-hmm.
Not only blacks went through something, the whites went through something because there wasn't anything they could do about it. And Roots was almost exactly like they described their life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Ellis had his roots.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
there was some good and some bad. And Uncle Tom named my grandmother, one of those slave people, knew Uncle Tom. And the master's wife had got rid of one of his favorite slaves.
Mm-hmm.
He sold Uncle Tom, so she couldn't find him again, and he was her favorite slave.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Uncle Tom really, well, I guess to say Uncle Tom, you think in terms of carrying news, well, he did.
Mm-hmm.
He drove the team and stuff, and he knew a lot. He carried word from one plantation
mm-hmm.
to the other, and they a railroad what they used.
Mm-hmm.
Pass to you.
This was your uncle?
No. He was called Uncle Tom.
Oh, okay.
You know, now they say of a black person who is chummy chummy, well, they used to say it, but you know, it's not that much difference anymore.
Right.
They call him Uncle Tom, because
right.
tell the white man everything.
Right.
Well, back then, Uncle Tom was more of a messenger between the,
mm-hmm.
let them know what was happening, because he drove the horses and buggies and stuff.
So let the slaves, the black people, know what was happening, what was going on.
Right,
mm-hmm.
right. And Uncle Tom was this slave owner's wife's favorite driver.
Mm-hmm.
But she did something that he didn't like. He sold Uncle Tom, so she had almost died. I don't know that she ever got it back, but they would. They talk in general of things that happen.
Did your great-grandmother ever give you any advice?
My great-grandmother taught, most of all, to pray.
Mm-hmm.
Most of all, to pray.
Mm-hmm.
So no situation is too big for God.
Mm-hmm.
She was a very good Christian. Most of them were. They let us know if you want something, work for it. You can make it. She's right, we can. Now, my husband died when my baby was about 2.5 years old. I got 5 children. But by me working with the assistance of my father and my sister, she didn't have any children, all 5 of them got a college education. My baby girl, she would be interested to do this interview. But she's a little thing, short, but she's very strong. She went to work at a Catholic, the Veterans Hospital in Washington, D.C.
Mm-hmm.
She's been working there over 20 years.
Wow.
When she went there to work, she said everything was so dark and dreary. So even though those people's minds are not good, they still want to see something pretty. She asked her supervisor, could she solicit clothes for the women? And she got clothes for the women. They let her have it. And then she looked at the walls. They were dark brown, dark green. She said it was so dreary. So she went to her supervisor and asked about getting the walls painted. And she didn't give her no answer, so she went to the one over her. And she was slow. She said, I'll write my congressman. The next morning, they were painting the walls. Somebody has to care.
Where do you think she learned that?
Where does she live?
Where did she learn that?
I guess. Have to keep kicking till you get what you want.
Do you remember the place that you, the house that you grew up in?
Yes. The house that I grew up in was a modern house because, the house that I was born in was just ordinary house, that's straight boards, but it was comfortable and papered inside. Mm-hmm. You know, had just wallpaper inside and a fireplace and a cook stove in the kitchen. Mm-hmm. The fireplace was for heat.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Did you grow up in that very same house?
No. My father finally was able to get his own house. He was living with my mother's grandmother. As a matter of fact, my mother's grandmother raised her. And they married very young, like 16, 17. Mm-hmm. And they lived with her.
Is this the grandmother that you were telling me, the great-grandmother that you were telling me about, or is this a different?
Yes, great. I didn't know my other grandmother.
Okay.
His great-grandmother, because my mother's mother died young. And what happened back then where there were right many children, a grandmother would take some, my aunt would take some, kind of divide them up. Mm-hmm. And my mother's grandfather was an Indian from Florida. She said he was bald headed.
He was bald head.
Yeah. And his wife was from Virginia. She was very fair. Mm-hmm. My mother said she was real fair skinned with long hair down her back. Mm-hmm. I didn't know her, but I knew my Aunt Lucinda, who lived in Boston. And she was so fair that we went in the drugstore. My mother and her went in the drugstore. And she was had that Boston accent. And she was asking for something. They didn't understand what she was saying. Told her, come around the counter and look. From my mother, now she wouldn't have invited me around that counter.
This is your mother's mother?
My mother's aunt.
Aunt.
Mm-hmm. Father's sister.
What, did you ever hear about any, you said your mother's mother was very fair?
No, my mother's grandmother.
Okay.
My mother said you couldn't tell her daddy's mother from white. And she didn't like it. She didn't like me that way.
Yeah. Did you ever hear anything about that or what kinds of problems it created for her? Or?
Well, she, I guess the way my mother explained it, she didn't want to be white as she was and not be white. I guess that's what she felt. Mama said you couldn't tell her from white.
Really?
I said her mother was a mulatto and her daddy was a white man.
Did she ever pass to say, get something, to get a job or to?
Well, actually, it wasn't too much work for them, but field work at the time. Those later years, you know, they worked in different places, in different homes and stuff like that, and in the fields. And this there's a judge, and this actually happened, they say. And back then, white babies, if they were the same age as a black baby, and you took care of them, they'd nurse your breast. Mm-hmm. Because I guess they hadn't invented bottles and stuff. But this lady worked until she couldn't work. And then she sold whiskey. She lived right across near that railroad over there. And I knew her. And the law caught her for selling whiskey. Mm-hmm. She carried her to court. She went to court, naturally. And the judge kept looking at her. Then he asked her if she was what her name was. He told her, yeah. He looked around and said, I can't sentence that woman. I nursed her breast. So wow. She was my mother in a way. Because maybe his mother, you know, had parties and stuff.
Right.
But, and he told her, her name was Charity. I knew her. And told her, Charity, don't sell whiskey anymore. You send somebody to me every week, and I'll send you money for food. So he took
what
care of her.
When was this? When did this happen?
Oh, this was maybe 50, 60, more than 50 years ago, because I've been back home 50 years.
Right.
But there's so many incidents that happened connected with black and white.
Mm-hmm. Can you think of, you mentioned a couple, several incidents where black and white were connected, really, intimately.
Yeah.
Do you know of any instances where there was separation? Where there was like violent separation or difficulty?
No. I don't know of any real problems. They were always mixing. I mean, I was brought up in the public, and they were always mixing. But they kept it secretive.
Have you heard of the phrase segregation by day and integration by night?
Would that apply? Or it's a fella that lives down Battleground Park, Horace Floyd, is very wealthy. They say his family owned a little town. And he loved to hang around black people. But he said when he was a little boy, you know, they were separated by towns, you know, the whites stay on their side. And he's saying he slept out through the, he still does it. He comes to see me sometime and different fellows he knew.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he said he would slip to the black town, as you call it. And the kids would hide him, you know, because he'd rather play with them than play with the whites. But,
why do you think that's so?
I don't know. It's surprising. But maybe they treat him better. Yeah, they treat him better. In other words, the black ones felt, well, naturally we were taught to believe the white man is supreme, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But as we grew older, more education, we know that we're all God's children.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They're all God's children. It was just of a different race.
You mentioned several times about black men, you know, coming into black communities or having affairs with, you know, white men, white women. What about the other way around? What about white women? You mentioned white men, into black communities.
Yeah.
What about white women and black men?
There were a lot of them, but they did most hiding.
Why?
I guess they thought it was a grace to them. Well, whatever they got, you know, it had to come out, you know. And Grace, for instance, you couldn't tell her grandmama from white.
Mm-hmm.
And her mother gave her to a black woman.
Mm-hmm.
And Miss Rebecca could pass anywhere for white.
Mm-hmm.
You can see how bright she is, Grace.
Mm-hmm.
But, a whole lot of interesting stories came out because a lot of whites harbored blacks, helped them to hide, helped them to get out. There's always been a link between white and black to
mm-hmm.
a certain extent, but they were not allowed to show it.
Mm-hmm. Can you think of ways in which people hid or how things were kept secret?
Well, they had sort of like what they call an underground railroad.
Mm-hmm.
They had a way of communicating.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It was interesting for the most part because now there were whites that would take sides with blacks if they would fight. Yeah. That was true in New Bern. And actually, The blood at one time was so intermixed, you'd hardly tell who was who.
Do you remember that when you were growing up, or?
Yes, I remember that when I was growing up. Because when I was growing up, the most jobs for women were either housework or farms.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And you work in the house and take care of the white babies and stuff, and they learned to love you. Mm-hmm. I worked for a Jewish family when I was still in school in Baltimore. And she had a little boy, two boys. One of her sons was an accident. He had with his head when he was born. So he was kind of deformed and dripped at his mouth, but he was a sweet little fella. And she couldn't keep a maid because of JoJo, they called him. Because he wanted to stay with the maid all the time. He wouldn't eat with them. He'd eat with the maid. And some of the maids didn't like that because he dripped at the mouth. But I played games with him. Now you see, I got slick with him. I say, JoJo, I'm going to see if you can eat your dinner before I eat mine. And he was an accident when he was born or something. But he was a very sweet little fellow. And then he'd eat his food out of his plate. So when he dripped in his plate, not mine.
Yeah.
But some of the girls had left because he wanted to eat, hang on their shoulder and stuff like that. And but he was a very sweet little boy.
So you think that those kinds of ties, that they really connected people when you were basically raising children?
Yeah. Yeah, they learned to love you. Mm-hmm. With JoJo, the baby, both of these were Jewish people. And their husband traveled. Mm-hmm. So I slept in. But the baby, and she loved to party. She was gone about all the time. So husband liked the car to go on one time.
Oh, no.
And I hid for her. I called her name real loud to let her know that he was there. And she had to laugh when she came in there. But she was out and gone all the time because she could trust me with the kids. And her baby, JoJo, at first, when I went to work there, JoJo didn't want to lay still for you to adopt him or put his clothes on. And I had heard other maids say, there's a white baby, if you want to spank him, get to use a wet cloth. We had all kinds of things.
They
say wouldn't leave no sign. See, because it would leave a mark. And they say just get a wet washcloth and smack their little butts. And they'd know how to be still. So I found that out because I never was harsh with him. But I tell JoJo to be still because I had other things to do. I get that wet cloth and pat his little butt. And he looked so funny the first time, but he got used to it.
I bet. Uh-huh. I bet.
And learned to obey and loved me to death. When it was time for me to get off, go home, he wanted to go with Anna. He called me Anna. Cry, holler, want to go with me.
When did you move up to Baltimore?
Well, I went to Baltimore to live with my aunt to work, to go to school.
What, to go to college?
College.
What school did you go to?
Well, I went to nursing school.
And you did.
And my husband, I had met him in school before, and he was in Baltimore. We got married in Baltimore.
How old were you when you moved up?
I was grown.
Like 20 or something?
20, mm-hmm. 21, I think. Mm-hmm. So we were married in Baltimore.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to talk a little bit more about James City, if we can.
Okay.
What do you remember about your neighborhood in James City?
Well, you know, the James City people are close-knit.
Yeah.
The password down the line, a Secret Service man came one time. Well, I hadn't always been here. I was further down near the water when I first moved back home after my husband died. And the Secret Service man came there looking for Lucy Spencer. Her check had been lost, and he had located it. Mm-hmm. So he came there, won't know from me. There no Lucy Spencer. I said, no. I was lying, I knew. And he say, you mean to tell me you keep store right in the area and you don't know the people? I say, you can't make me know them. Jay said, the people got why. Then he did what he should have done in the first place, showed the check that had been lost. I say, she lives right across the road. But the reason I hadn't told him because her husband sold whiskey. And I was afraid he might. That's how we operated. Everybody
so
looked up.
We took care of each other.
Yes, we took care of each other.
Who are the people that you make sure say who are the people that you let talk to, like, you know, give people directions, and who are the people that you wouldn't give directions?
Well, I give almost anybody directions unless it's I think maybe something's gonna happen to the person I'm directing them to. We were just like that. We were clannish, that's what we were.
Uh-oh.
We were clannish.
Sounds like that you were able to take care of each other that way as well.
Right, uh-huh. I guess more or less it was something like slaves in a way, you had to help each other.
Mm-hmm.
Because what happened during slavery time, like say I was telling you about Miss Hannah, who's a slave owner with her father. Well, she could... she was welcomed in the big house with her half white, well, she was half white, her sisters and brothers. And I guess his wife had no choice but to treat her good. But she learned to read and write. Whatever they would learn, they carried right back home. And one stable boys was able to get a book, and they hide the book under the house. But when he carried home, they would all try to learn what he had learned. Because a lot of educated blacks, even before they were free, smart, they learned.
Did anybody ever talk about Africa? Were there any stories about Africa coming from Africa?
Yeah, well, they knew that originally we blacks were descendants. But Africa was the beginning of civilization, white and black.
Right.
Yeah, the beginning of civilization.
So we were talking about people taking care of each other.
Yeah,
right?
They took care of each other. Even the whites. By the time I got to be almost grown, the whites and the blacks in James City were like all the same.
Mm.
They got to know each other better, and they looked out for each other, and they shared. Because
mm-hmm.
most of the work for blacks were the farms.
Mm-hmm.
And at one time, my dad, he lost his foot on the train. He used to work the railroad. And his foot got cut off. And he got a good sum of money, bought a car. And there was a white family there that the girls were teachers, but they didn't have a car.
Mm-hmm.
So my dad carried them to town each day. Of course, they sit in the back seat. But that was one instance where the black, in that case, was better off than the white.
Did your dad get paid? Did they ever pay him?
Yeah,
they
paid him. They paid him.
Mm-hmm.
Paid him for carrying them and paid him for bringing them back.
Mm-hmm.
And they grew up right there in the black neighborhood.
Mm-hmm. So in James City, there were whites and blacks living in James City when you... part of town did the whites live in?
Well, they were kind of intermixed, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Some whites lived this distance, and they didn't live yard to yard.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a kind of connection.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, if a problem came to the black neighborhood, the whites, you know, worked with it.
Mm-hmm.
It was, I think, more or less, after the war, people understood that they got to live together.
Mm-hmm.
And they worked in the house, cooked and
mm-hmm.
took care of the babies. But my great-grandmother saw Abraham Lincoln.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. She say he would travel alone, he was well-dressed, very homely man, just like these knew it to be, and but he came by himself to this plantation where she was. And
what was the, do you know the name of the plantation?
No, I don't know the name of the plantation. But he stopped there, you know, with her master, and his wife was expecting a baby. And Abraham Lincoln left a name for a boy and a name for a girl, if the baby turned out to be. But he didn't give the letter to them. He hid it in the wall and wrote them back from Washington, D.C. that he was the president. He had come to oversee what to do about the blacks. And he let, after he went back to Washington, but he traveled alone. She said he came to their plantation alone. Uh-huh. He was looking over the area to see what was happening. And say the stable boy that took his horse out, say he asked him, are you living good? Are you getting enough to eat? Are you be-? He questioned them. That's what he was finding out for himself. Because, you know, he had a quotation that said when he get a chance to strike that thing, he strike it hard. So after he left, she said it wasn't long before the soldiers start coming in. Soldiers start coming in and putting them out in the road, marching them away. And most of them hated to leave, because that's all they were used to. Say, but as far as they could look back, they would see their master and his family on the porch, saying they were sad. But they stayed right in the road.
So this is when President Lincoln was president?
Yeah.
He came when he was president?
When he was president, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. He had a lowly life too, and he said it wasn't right to have human beings as slaves, like animals. So he said when he got a chance to hit that thing, he was going to hit it hard. So he investigated things for himself. Because I don't think that naturally in anything there are mean people and better people. But for the most part, from what I could gather from what they talked, they were unhappy, because that's all they knew. That was all they knew.
Why do you think President Lincoln, if he saw things like what you were describing, he saw at this plantation, why do you think then he would think that slavery was so bad? If it sounds like he was, I mean, he didn't sound.
Well, he said, I've read that, he said that human beings weren't supposed to be slaves.
Right.
Animals supposed to be slaves. That's what he didn't like about it.
Right. Do you think that's also what people like your great grandmother and those people who were living, do you think that that's the case for them too, regardless of whether or not it was okay, that that's what they believed?
Well, yes, they felt like they were God's children too, just a different color. And they felt like it was wrong, but they had to go along with it because you couldn't know better too. Until the time came, but they prayed for freedom.
Right.
They prayed for freedom.
Did your great-grandmother ever talk to you about things, anything that would happen to people who tried to run away or tried to
sometimes
resist the master?
Yeah, if they tried to run away, they either catch them and bring them back and tie them up. They got one of those things and try and paddle for to tie them up until they know they won't do it again. But
Is that a whipping post or is that?
They got a whipping post, so they're trying to paddle inside the back door. But they would put them in jail. You know, and beat them. They used to beat them too. But now Miss Hannah, it was a different story. She was too white to be black, because her mother was a mulatto in the first place, and then the plantation owner was her father, which was white. And you really couldn't tell her from white. I was a big girl when I knew her.
Why do you think that the people came and settled here in James City? Why do you think that it's this spot when the soldiers were moving?
The sand and the water. The sand was good soil and good water.
Did the free people get to choose, or did the soldiers choose where?
The soldiers choose. And then Horace James was a preacher in Boston. They brought him here as overseer, and he was good, they said.
Do you remember when you were growing up, any places in James City where your parents did not want you to go to? Maybe bad places where they didn't want you to hang out?
Well, when I was growing up, there were whiskey joints and places where the women sold the bodies. Mm-hmm. No, we weren't allowed to go there.
Were white men coming to these as well?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, usually the white men, that they weren't so good either.
So they
drank whiskey and maybe sold it and stuff.
So your parents just didn't want you to hang around at those places?
No.
Did you ever?
No. Other than serve them, because my daddy had a cafe and later a store, and they were customers.
Where was your dad's store? Where was your dad's businesses located?
Out on the highway. At first, it was right near that bridge.
Right.
Well, that's where all the black people used to be, in that side. This is where you see that sign, James City. Finally, we talked and talked, and we got that. But that's old James City, that whole young area. That's where the soldiers, you know, put them down. And, like I said about Grace's great-granddaddy, he been rebelled and told him he wasn't paying no more rent for something belonged to him. And he got all the men together. They didn't have weapons, but they had sticks and stones and bricks. They fought. They run the law overboard. It's just recent years that a lawman can come up over here and arrest somebody. Well, back then, all the whole people would go against them. They ran the law overboard two or three times. I didn't ever hear them killing anybody. I never hear the law killing anybody either. But they're afraid. Finally, they got black helpers. Black helpers would go and talk to people like they were set. The only thing I know about them would sometimes some men beat the wives and the law would get them and so forth. What?
Sometimes what did you say now?
Sometimes that the whites were on the same side as the blacks and some things that happened. Like a man beating his family, you know, unnecessarily, their wife and stuff, and nobody appreciated that, whether he was white or black. So, really.
What would happen to a man if he was doing that?
They'd put the law on him.
So at that point, they would call the law to come over here.
Yeah.
They didn't like to have the law coming in other times?
No. Well, usually anything that would happen that got out of hand, if they had to walk the bridge, they're going to get a lawman.
Okay.
And they've been known to run the law back, though. But James City had a bad name, though.
It did? How come?
Because the people would fight for themselves.
That's supposed to be a good thing, isn't it?
In a sense. When my husband and I went in business in Duplin County, where we went, is rented this place from the man. Well, he set us up in business, really. And we had come back from Baltimore because my husband's mother was sick, and I persuaded him to come home. He was a baby, and she had taken him washing and everything, sent him the card. And I persuaded him that we come back so that he could look out for his mother. And anyway, the white, for the most part, they would take sides with the blacks if the blacks were right, even against whites at that particular time.
Miss George was talking a little bit about how the way James City started to deteriorate, and that was happening sort of in the late 30s. Do you know anything of what happened? Were whites starting to get more militant and starting to want more land, or what was?
No. I think for the most part, there was an understanding in my place and you in your place, but yet they got along. And but the blacks had started to stand up for their right. Like, for instance, had a white postmaster, and he was too lazy to get up and get your mail, and didn't have boxes. And so the whites went to the law about him. Get us a black postmaster if he didn't want to get up and wait on us. So he did.
The blacks went and got extra boxes. Mm-hmm. And when was this?
Oh, this was years and years ago. You had to be prepared, you know, you had to have an education. And there was a guy named Richard Sawyer. That particular family went down through the ages, you know, as teachers and stuff. So he was the postmaster. And eventually, you know, we just all kind of went into one.
Where did you go to school? Where did you start going to school when you first started?
I started school, first school I went to was Catholic.
What was the name of it?
St. Joseph.
Uh-huh.
And they still have, I don't know where they have a Catholic school now or not, but they have a church.
In Newburgh.
Mm-hmm.
So you would go, the first school you went to, you would go across the bridge over to Newburgh?
Yeah, we all had to. Not the first one, because we had elementary over here.
Oh, you had elementary.
But I basically went to Amy Zion School. This was a black school connected with Livingston College. And at that time, I was headmaster.
Mm-hmm.
But there, you were taught prayers and you were taught discipline. And it was church school.
This was elementary school, your
uh-huh.
first school that you went
uh-huh.
to. Miss, I don't know if she might even be related to you. Lavinia Joyner?
Hmm?
Lavinia Joyner, do you know?
Lavinia, yeah, Lavinia's my uncle's wife.
Oh, she talked about, I'm going to interview her on Thursday. She talked, well, but when I just started talking to
her. She and I are almost the same age.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
She told me that when she was young that people used to, older people in the community would conduct school in different places throughout James City. Because until there was a formal elementary school.
Uh-huh. Well, yeah, well, old man Sawyer taught school in his house.
Uh-huh.
And he was educated.
Uh-huh.
Miss Alvania Fenner, but for the most part, she taught in the public school.
She did?
Mm-hmm. But she's right. Louie didn't learn too much, you know. She was my uncle's wife. She was right that they would teach in the house, and you paid something like 10 cents a week or something.
Uh-huh.
You learned to read and write.
So, which church was this Amy Zion school at?
It was located in New Bern, and over in Dufferfield.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. So you, even to go to elementary school.
You could go to elementary school there too.
Unless you, were there any schoolhouses here in James City?
Yeah, there was a schoolhouse right across the railroad, right over in that area where they were going to put the addition to the new road, but I understand they didn't give them the money. Mm-hmm.
That's good.
Mm-hmm. And they had already paid us off because I had some property with that.
Good.
But I understand they're not getting that grant. But anyway, the Baptist had school, and some of those people taught in the home,
mm-hmm.
like the beginners.
Mm-hmm. What was the name of the elementary school in town, do you know?
Well, the school that I attended was called Sutton School behind headmaster,
uh-huh.
you might say.
Uh-huh.
Sutton School.
And where was that located?
Dufferfield.
So your elementary school, you went to New Bern?
Yeah.
How did you get there?
Walked the bridge.
How long was it? How far away was it?
It's about 5 or 6 miles.
A long
but
walk.
You got used to it.
Yeah.
That bridge itself was long. Then you go straight up that bridge, the Veterans Cemetery. Before you get to Veterans Cemetery, you turn in Duffield.
What did you do to pass the time on your walk?
Well, there were a lot of us, and we would be tagging and playing and talking. Uh-huh. We got used to it. It wasn't bad.
Uh-huh.
Finally, my daddy bought me a bicycle. But the purpose of the bicycle was, by this time, he had lost his foot, and he had a cafe down there. He made meals for the men at the, my daddy was very smart, at the factory. The factory's all on that railroad over there, fertilizer factory,
okay,
where the boat would come up and get the bag. And so he bought me a bicycle when I was 9 years old. And before I went to school, I had to cross that bridge, go downtown Newbern, but wasn't a lot of traffic, and get his meats for the day. Because it didn't have freezers and things like we got now. And I had to cross that bridge and get his meats before I went to school. Then I come back and bring his meats. Then I go back and have to go over in Duffield.
Wow.
It's far over as the Veterans Cemetery. But it's you get used to it, it's not bad.
You were getting good exercise.
And we walked sometime. And then about five or six of us, and walking and tagging and talking, it's not bad. We got personal training, really, because, you know, we were trained good manners and all that kind of stuff, which you don't get in the public school. Because my children went to public school.
Did they also teach you reading and writing? And-